Imagine if a ring could actually give you the power of insight into your own health. The Oura Ring is a real-world ring of power, designed to help you take control of your well-being. I've worn an Oura Ring every day for years, and it's truly become essential. Now with the brand new Oura Ring 4, this smart ring goes even further. It doesn't just track steps, it reveals insights about your sleep, activity, recovery, stress, and more, all literally at your fingertips. Paired with an Oura membership, it's like having a powerful personal wellness guide on your finger, giving you the power to be healthier every day. Claim this ring of power for yourself. Visit ringspodcast.com/ring and order your Oura Ring 4 today. That's ringspodcast.com/ring to claim your Oura Ring of Power. When someone says, if you don't like Rings of Power, then don't watch it, what they're really saying is, stop caring. But that is impossible when it comes to Tolkien's legacy. Here's the problem with, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You're asking fans to stop caring about a world that they have loved for decades. And this isn't about just hating on the show or criticizing the show at all. I love Tolkien's world way too much to just sit back and ignore what Rings of Power is doing. That idea is so lazy and it's so dismissive, and it comes from people who just really don't care. So I want to tell you why this really matters to me. But before I do that, I want to share with you why I feel like Rings of Power is deliberately trying to erode the legacy that Tolkien left us. I'm Aaron, host of Lore of the Rings podcast and your guide to wandering Middle-earth. Make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button so that we can always wander J.R.R. Tolkien's world and works together. And special thanks to this episode's executive producer, The Old One. If you would like to support the Lore of the Rings podcast, then head to ringspodcast.com/member. Now, let's wander. I've had so many people ask my opinion about Rings of Power, and I've given my opinion to so many people, but what I usually do is I turn that question around and I ask them. I say, what did you think of Rings of Power? And in most cases, these people are really casual observers. They haven't explored the lore as deeply as you and I have done, especially on this podcast. I remember once I was sitting with a guy from work. We were out to eat at a restaurant, and we were waiting for a few other folks to show up. And you know, he asked me my thoughts on Rings of Power, and I turned it back around to him, and he said, I haven't read the books, and I liked the movies. But I feel like Rings of Power was okay. And he kind of said it like in this questioning voice, like, it was okay? Like, is it okay for me to say that it was only okay? And I just kind of nodded my head and I said, yeah, I hear that from a lot of people, that it's okay. And I feel like that is a miserable failure on Amazon's part. It's absolute miserable failure for any TV show for people to feel forced to say, it's okay, it's decent. It's an absolute tragedy when it comes to Rings of Power, and I think it's a tragedy for at least three reasons. The first reason why I feel like that is such a tragedy is that this TV show is the most expensive TV show in the history of TV. All right, $1 billion to produce this show. Now let's take out $250 million for the rights, and you're left with $750 million. Now, as I understand it, the going rate to pay the writing teams, the producers, is like 3%. If you're in the industry and you know a better rate, then email me at host@ringspodcast.com. But let's go with 3%. So that means out of all of the money that they could have spent on this film, $22.5 million could have been spent on the writing team. Do you know what you can get for $22 million? It's estimated that in 2023, George R.R. Martin, the fantasy author behind the Game of Thrones TV shows, that his estimated income in 2023 was $25 million. So for $20 plus million, you can get a really good, decent writer to write your screenplays for you, to create your characters, to create your dialogue, to create your dramatic tension. You can get some good writers for $20 million. And yet somehow Amazon has figured out a way to get a really terrible, horrible story. A story that does not make sense. If you go back and listen to this podcast just a couple episodes ago where I reviewed episode 6 and 7 of season 2, I didn't even look at Tolkien's lore. I didn't look at the writings. I didn't compare it with his characters. All I did was ask a simple question. Is this story believable? Does it have an inner sense of reality, a verisimilitude, as Tolkien would say, about what makes a really good story in his essay on fairy stories? That's the simple question I asked for episodes 6 and 7 when I reviewed those. And the walkaway, the clear answer was simply no. Those episodes do not have any inner consistency of reality. The story is not plausible. It's not believable. It doesn't make sense in so many cases. The characters fall flat. You've got Arondir, who is within inches of his life in one episode. And then in episode 8, he comes back and he's doing the backflipping Teenage Mutant Ninja Elf style fighting. And it's like, where's the consistency in that? Obviously, there's no consequences. Nothing's at stake here. Everything can be healed just by you know, putting a couple of rings together. There's no consequences here. Nothing is at stake. So somehow, you've got all the money in the world to pay for good writers, and yet you get a dismal story that when people watch it, they just say, meh, it's okay. Making sure that the writing and the story is paramount, first priority, even Tolkien understood that. In a letter that he drafted around 1956, Tolkien said this about The Lord of the Rings, quote, "First of all, it must succeed as just a tale. Excite, please, and even on occasion move, and in its own imagined world be accorded literary belief." Tolkien understood this. The story comes first. If the story works, then you have a lot of grace to do a lot of other stuff. But if the story doesn't work, then it's a failure. But the second reason why I feel like that is just a major tragedy is the material that they chose to pursue in this show. You've heard me say before on this show that the best decision that the showrunners made for Rings of Power was to set the action of this show in the Second Age of Middle-earth. That's a brilliant decision for a number of reasons. Number one, it's very critical what happens in the Second Age to set up all of the events in the Third Age, all of the events that we see in the Lord of the Rings films and in the books. Second Age is crucial to setting that up. You've got two major tales in the Second Age, the forging of the rings and the rise and fall of the Kingdom of Numenor, the island kingdom of paradise for men on Earth. And Sauron is intertwined with both of those plots, very, very detailed, very intricately. And yet Tolkien did not provide a lot of details. He gave us some high-level overview. He gave some sketches of dates and some major years. He zoomed in on a couple of really unique stories during the Second Age. But for the most part, the Second Age is pretty unexplored by Tolkien. And the parts that he did explore are pretty scattered. They're scattered, divided, leaderless, as Elrond might say, regarding all of the source material for the Second Age. That was until Brian Sibley came out and published, edited and published his book, The Fall of Numenor, which is right over there, right behind me on my shelf right there. Great book, by the way. I'll link to it in the show notes. So you've got the Second Age, which has crucial and amazing tales for the Third Age. In one letter, Tolkien wrote that about his entire mythology, quote, "The cycles should be linked to a majestic whole and yet leave scope for other minds and hands wielding paint and music and drama." Amazon's Rings of Power has certainly attempted to step into that space. Tolkien left that space wide open for other hands and minds to grapple with, and yet somehow they have still screwed that up. Terrible story. They had the wonderful material that they could have done, and yet they threw it all in the garbage. They didn't make any use of it. The third reason why it's a tragedy when people react and just say, meh, it was okay, is because Amazon literally had a built-in fan base. On day one, when this show was announced, we saw some of the earlier images. Millions and millions and millions of people around the world were ready. We were ready. We were eager. We were hungry. We wanted to return to Middle-earth. We wanted to have a journey. We wanted to have an adventure. We were there. Millions of us were bought into the show from the very beginning. And yet that was all spurned. It was all turned aside. From the very earliest marketing efforts before season one, I remember there was some conversation about Tolkien fans. And there were like four or five of them, and it was clear that none of them had ever read a word of Tolkien ever. And it's like, oh, well, maybe that was really poor marketing on our part. Yeah, it was poor marketing on your part. You have completely dismissed the fans. Season one was all about a bait and switch of who's Sauron, who's Halbrand, what's going on. It's like, no, we're not idiots. Okay, Harry Potter fans, you're really not going to like this, but Tolkien readers are not idiots. Okay. If we want just fluff and bait and switch and some really basic fantasy stuff, we're going to go read Harry Potter, okay? And that's fine. I love Harry Potter. It's great. I've read it to all my kids. We own all the movies. We watch it every Halloween. It's fine. Harry Potter's great. Star Wars is great. But Lord of the Rings is a different intellectual level to me. And the fans are as well. right? We're not stupid. And between season one and season two of Rings of Power, the showrunners, the writers, they've just treated us with absolute disdain, treating us with dismissiveness. And it's insulting, really. It's insulting. So for those three reasons, Amazon has all the money, they had great material, and they had a built-in fan base. And yet still, somehow, after two seasons of this show, we're left with, meh, it's okay. This was the easiest slam dunk TV show in the history of TV shows. It was, how could you fail? How could you fail when you had the money, the story, the fans, you had the perfect combination, and yet you failed. The best you have done is, meh, it's okay. I get so frustrated. I can't even express how frustrated this really makes me. But I want to return to that first point. Why care? Why do I care? Why do I continue to watch Rings of Power even though my hopes have been utterly dashed and destroyed? Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide.
When fandom is about community, so are we. Whether you're watching blockbuster fantasy like The Lord of the Rings or cozying up with your favorite comic book, The Lorehounds are here as your guides to great stories. Search for The Lorehounds in any podcast feed or head to our website, thelorehounds.com, to find links to all our conversations, whether on air or with listeners on our Discord server. See you this fall for weekly coverage of Dune Prophecy and Silo.
First, for fans of Lord of the Rings, this is not just a TV show, okay? It's not just a movie. It's not just a book. These stories, these characters, these ideas have become a cherished part of our lives, our culture, even how we view ourselves and the world around us. Tolkien's works resonate deeply with millions of people around the world because of its themes of courage, friendship, hope, even in the darkest of times, and even the ennobling of the disenfranchised. The story is about hobbits, the most ignored people on the planet. And yet somehow, without them, evil would have conquered, would have won the day. Isn't that a theme that we can all get around? I love that. So we are emotionally invested in Tolkien's world. Okay, it's not just a TV show. It's not just a movie. It's not just a series of books. We can't just walk away from it just because this adaptation is flawed or miserable. We care and we watch Rings of Power because we want this world that we have cherished to be treated with the same love and dignity and respect that generations of people all around the world have treated these stories with. And yet somehow it's just, we'll pick out a few characters and a few place names and give you a terrible, horrible, mashed up corporate stories, especially the ones that Tolkien provided us. They have a power to inspire and challenge us and connect us across culture, across languages, with universal themes like sacrifice, death versus immortality, fellowship, friendship, all of these themes that humans around the world crave for. Tolkien gave a masterful story for that. Stories have the ability to touch our hearts, challenge our minds, and connect us to ideas and experiences far beyond our own limited perceptions and experience. In particular, Tolkien's stories in Middle-earth have a unique power to inspire us and to fill us with wonder. Okay, so last reason why I care about Rings of Power. Rings of Power will be the first introduction to a whole new generation of Tolkien fans. That will be their first adventure and journey into Middle-earth. If Rings of Power has somehow made you aware of Tolkien's world in Middle-earth that you weren't aware of before, or maybe it's reignited, rekindled the light within you that you've lost. Maybe you read the books in college or you saw the movies 10 or 15 years ago and Rings of Power has renewed that interest in you or brought it up for you, made you aware of it for the first time, then I say welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If Rings of Power has piqued your curiosity, even just a little bit, then you have a treasure trove of adventures and amazing stories and tales ahead of you. Tales that will move you. Tales that will make you cry. Characters that you will fall in love with. You have so much adventure and awe-inspiring, wonderful journeys to go on as you explore Tolkien's worlds. And if Rings of Power, if it brings one more person into reading the books, going back to Peter Jackson's films, taking a deeper look at Tolkien and his themes and his stories, then, okay, I guess they've done some good in this world. I guess there is a star high above the darkness and the clouds that even evil cannot touch. And that is, more people will become aware of Tolkien's world and become more curious to dive into that. If you are one of those people, then I say, welcome. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you're subscribed, because there is so much of Tolkien's world and works for you to wander through, for you to explore. And I'm here to be your guide. I'm here to help you. I love this world, and I have found so much joy and illumination and wisdom in these themes and in these characters. And I love to share that with you. So welcome. If Rings of Power was your introduction, I say welcome. And that is why I care so much about Rings of Power, and why I will not just simply not watch it because I don't like it. I can't accept that. Thank you for wandering Middle Earth with me today.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.